Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe. We're coming to you again on a Friday night, June 21st. This is the 21st episode, and we're praising the Lord for it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God. We have many, many prayer requests and going out all over Facebook. I was looking a while ago. There's 32 comments. That's me commenting back and forth to other people. And there's many requests. And there's 38,500 people that have been listening to the Macedonian Call around the globe. We thank God for this opportunity to be able to go reach out Philippines, Nicaragua, South Korea, Africa. I can't even begin to name all the countries that this reaches, goes out to. And if you're listening and you've been listening a while, if this is the first time that you've ever listened to our broadcast, we welcome you. We thank the Lord for you. And we hope that something here is said that will help encourage you. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the way of salvation. He is our healer. He is our bread of life. And we thank God that we have the written word of God that we can go by as a roadmap on our way, telling us how that we need to get to heaven. And a little bit later on, I'm going to start talking about turning in those prayer requests. At this time, we're going to have Rachel come in, and she's going to read her scriptures. And we thank God for her. She's our 9-year-old daughter, and she loves the Lord, and she's surely trying to do a work in helping us with the broadcast and doing her part. And that if we do our part after we've gotten saved, the Lord, He said, little known, little required, much known, much required. So she obeys her parents in the Lord. When we ask her to do something, she's obedient. And that's what the subject is about tonight, is obedience. So we've got some callers on too, and we'll get them in here and introduce themselves and preach for us. And right now we're going to have Rachel.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Praise God. She does a good job. And we've got little coughing going on. She does, and my husband Clinton does, and I do too. So if we cough a little bit, we apologize if it's a hindrance. And right now, I want to go to you in prayer, not just over the prayer request right now, but just for the broadcast and those that are listening. Let's go to prayer right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you,
Lord, in the name of Jesus, today we pray, Father God, dear Lord, and God, that you would move,
every minister,
Father, that you'd open ears,
that
my ear open eyes, that my knee and open heart, that might understand, Lord, to be concerned, Lord, that you should heal them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just move, God,
for the remission of sins. Lord, help give the understanding who you are, Lord, in life, that you are the only way that we can be saved,
Lord, that they might be ministered, that they might receive tonight, Father.
Jesus. Oh, Lord, do it. Lord, let your anointing go forth, dear God. More many requests coming forth, dear Lord. We ask that you touch every request, and we'll name them off here in a moment, Lord. God, we just praise you and give you all the glory, Lord, for doing this. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to have 770 come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thompson, Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John. We're going to get the other callers, too, to introduce themselves. 423, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Eddie Bolton, Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Amen, Brother Eddie. Praise God for you guys, you and Brother John. Hold on there a second, okay, brother?
No problem.
Okay, 859, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Brother Tim Hall from up in Somerset, Kentucky.
Hallelujah, praise God. Good to have you, Brother Tim. Hang in
And
our subject tonight, we've been preaching on obedience. And we'll get you... Are you in a good place where you'll have signal here for a little while?
I'm hoping so, and that is one of our problems here. Well, you know, you've been here, and
yeah,
we live in the woods, and so hopefully you go ahead and talk to them others, and I'll listen in a while.
Okay, brother. So we're talking about obedience, and you know, however the Lord leads and puts it on your heart, you just obey God with whatever you have that He puts on your heart. It don't have to be with our subject, okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, Brother John, go ahead and come in there, brother, and just obey the Lord.
Sister Green, if you want Brother Hall to go ahead, he can go ahead right now.
Okay. Brother Eddie, you were next on there. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay. That way, Brother Hall, in case he loses signal, he'll have a chance to say something there. Go ahead, Brother Hall.
Well, I appreciate that. And it is you've been to our house, and you know it's just a poor signal here. And when I get to listen, and I do enjoy you and Brother Green's program and appreciate your ministry, and I got to listen here a couple weeks ago. I believe that Brother Johnny that we're talking there, I believe he was ministering on something there, and I, like I said, I appreciate it very much. You know, obedience is the key to getting anything from God because, if you don't obey God, don't obey the Word of God, nothing else absolutely matters because, you know, we can say, Lord, Lord, and we can brag and we can fast and we can pray and do everything else. But if we don't obey and walk in obedience, we're never going to be successful. We're going to always be a failure. And everybody you find in the Bible, you know, when you look at Abraham in Genesis 12, and the Lord said, you know, get up and go to a place you've never been before. Can you imagine Sarah at her age? And she's thinking she has settled down for life. And Abraham comes in and says, Sarah, we're going to go. And she says, where are we going, Abraham? He says, I don't know. And, you know, any typical person would give that puzzled look. What do you mean we don't know where we're going? But he said, the Lord told me to go, and if he had not obeyed, he would not have received the promise. We wouldn't receive the promise. He wouldn't receive the blessing. We wouldn't receive the blessing. But he stepped out on obedience to what God said. And I think many folks' biggest problem, biggest trouble is they're afraid to step out in obedience to the Word of God. And the only way we're going to be successful, the only way we're going to see God move, the only way we're going to see the hand of God or the power of God is by walking in obedience. I remember I worked, you know, Sister Green, I worked many years in Christian radio. And I was working here in Lexington, Kentucky. And, you know, things were successful. I had received awards in the Southern gospel music industry. And I called the wife one day and I says, if I don't go do what God said, I'm going to die. And she thought I meant spiritually. I said, no, I'm literally going to die. It's going to kill me because I've got to go obey what God said. I left a job making a halfway decent income and had one place to preach when I left that job. And God began to immediately start blessing and opening doors. And, you know, we're like anybody else. We've been through tough times and tough trials. But I found out that by stepping out and walking in obedience to God that he's always supplied the need. He's always taken care of us. And I believe that's every one of us is just, you know, being like Abraham, stepping out in obedience when we don't see the answer, when we don't see the way, and God will honor that. Mm. I believe that.
Bless you, Lord.
That's basically what I'll add to the conversation there. I'd like to hear what the other brothers say.
Amen. Thank the Lord for you and Sister Frieda. And you'll be down in, remind me again, was it October you're going to be down in the Georgia area?
Yes, ma'am. October the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we're going to be in Columbus, Georgia. I don't exactly know where it's at. It's a little way south of Atlanta. It's called Columbus Revival Center. Is the name of the church where the Sanders are the pastor. We're going to be down there preaching October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, yes.
Praise the Lord. Is that close to you, Brother John?
Sister Green, that's about 30 to 40 miles straight across. Columbus is right on the line, right, actually on the line of Georgia and Alabama. In fact, if you go across the river there, would be in Phoenix City, Alabama, and they sort of share it. They're called Twin Cities. And so I've been there several times and preached, not in Columbus Revival Center, but in Columbus, Georgia, I've preached there several times. But it's about 40 miles away, straight across in the state.
We're looking forward to it. And if I could just add, if anybody knows any churches in that area that would like us, we'd like to try to find a couple of other meetings while we're down there. And I just come and try to preach to bless and help the church. You know, I've told Brother and Sister Green that people seem to be, everybody's going through battles. You ask any family, any home, any church, any pastor, they're going through battles like we've never faced before. And we need somebody to lift us up. People don't need beat up and beat down. And I've never been a preacher. You know, you can preach on sin and preach it out of love. And yeah. I've never been a preacher to beat people, and I'm not going to start now because, one of my friends on Facebook just yesterday, I read to my wife, their 19-year-old son just committed suicide. And we're seeing this kind of stuff happen at alarming rates, and we need some Aaron and hers to lift up people's hands and tell people you're in the battle and we're going to help you get through this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I enjoy I enjoyed getting to listen to you, and I'll be quiet here, let some of them talk, and I'll stay on here as long as I got signal and listen.
Praise God. Good to have you. Jump in there anytime you want to, Brother Tim, and we've met you in person, and we have a lot of great confidence in you. And every time you're in Ohio, I drove, how far did Brother Green and I drive to Liberty, Kentucky from Ohio to hear you? And it was very worth exactly to hear every word that you, that Lord gave you. So we're here to lift up Jesus, I know, but he said give honor due, where honor is due. And we sure appreciate you, Brother Hall.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate you guys driving all the way down there. It was probably at least 250, 275 miles, and I appreciate it. Sister Hall and I really appreciate it.
It was very worth it. Sometimes people will ask you, what did the preacher preach about? And a lot of times, I don't remember. I don't know. But that what you preach has really stuck with me, and I do. I appreciate it. Brother John, go ahead. Brother, come in and obey the Lord.
What's the date that you're going to be in Columbus again, Brother Hall?
October 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Okay. All right.
And if you know of any churches around there, we'd like to come. Like I say, I come to help the church. I don't believe it's an evangelist's job to come in and preach what you might say doctrine as far as handling things in the church. I believe that a pastor takes care of his own church, and I've known pastors and evangelists, and I've known evangelists come in, and one day they could destroy your church,
Right, yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I've been in both positions, so I know exactly where you're coming from, and I just praise the Lord. Amen. I praise the Lord for the opportunity. You want me to go ahead, Sister Green?
Sure, Brother, a pastor, go ahead.
Tonight, the Lord was dealing with me, and I wasn't really sure what the subject was earlier. I sort of felt by the Spirit that we were going to be speaking on the obedience. But God, the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 8 that those that are men that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Tonight, I believe that, amen, that everybody that's on this broadcast has become the sons of God. And that, when it talks about the sons of God, that's not talking about male or female. That's talking about building up. It's from the Hebrew word bene, which means to build up the family name. Tonight we're here to build up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to lift him up. Amen. He declared in his word, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He was talking about being lifted up on the cross of Calvary. Tonight as we lift him up, and as he's been lifted up, amen, we're all looking at Calvary tonight. But the message I have for tonight is, the title is Just Saying a Word. And coming out of in the scriptures out of Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 1. Amen. The Bible says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dealing to him was sick and ready to die. Here is a centurion, amen. A centurion is a captain over 100 people. Amen. And he's a ruler, amen. He's a man of authority and power over these 100 people. That's underneath his authority. And so tonight we need to know, amen, that as this wasn't any, but this man had a servant that was dear to him, a servant that he had loved, amen, a servant who had served him probably dearly and faithful, amen. And the Bible says he was sick and ready to die. In other words, he was at the point of death. We need to know tonight, amen, that as people are in position all over the world, people are in authority all over the world, and they could say many things and speak many things, but you need to know tonight that even in this centurion's place and even in his authority, he didn't have the authority and power to heal the servant who he dearly beloved. But hallelujah, tonight we have someone who can say a word that is spoken. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We need to know tonight that that's come from the Greek word logos, which means the spoken word, amen. So the spoken word was beginning to be spoken, in other words, to declare. That's what we're doing tonight, is speaking not only a word, but we're speaking the word tonight, the word of the deity, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find, amen, hallelujah, that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 16, hallelujah. The Bible says, verse 6, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 says this, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. In other words, here is the Lord of glory. Amen. And here is this centurion, this servant. Amen. He was a man of another country. He was a man of another realm. He was a man that they, at that time, that they had no dealings with one another. He was a man that actually helped, the centurion and the Roman Empire and had actually had them in captivity. But here was a man that had showed love. Here's a man who had become a neighbor. When the lawyer said, who is thy neighbor? Hallelujah. And we become obedient to the word of God. But the Bible says, and what this Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 is a witness scripture in the Psalm chapter 8. And the Bible says in verse 7, thou madest him a little, talking about Jesus, madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowns him with glory and honor. Just like Brother and Sister Green said, we give honor to whom honor is due. Tonight we're giving honor to the word of God. We're giving honor, amen, and that one way of honor is that we be fully obedient to the word of God. And thou didst set over him over the works of thy hands. The Father set the Son over the works of his hands. Hallelujah. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. In other words, everything that was made, amen, in heaven and in earth and under the earth, hallelujah, was made subject to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For him that he has put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. You need to know tonight that there's not nothing under the feet of Jesus Christ, not nothing that is not made that is under the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. For they had crucified. He sent notice unto them, amen, to the Jews. When he was speaking in the books of Acts, he said, you need to know that you have crucified he who has made him in both Lord and Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. And tonight there's only one Lord and there's only one Christ. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I'm going to tell you tonight. I'll tell you what come out of Nazareth. The Lord of glory. The Lord that we are to be obedient to. And the Bible said, but now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, at that present time, when the writer of Hebrews spoke, he said, we didn't see everything put under his feet, even though we know by faith that everything, the Bible says, the last enemy, amen, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the last enemy that he shall put underneath his feet is death. And the good thing about that, not only death in general, but your death personally, individually, right now, just as Brother Hall said, that he was going to die if he did not obey. Amen. It's better to obey than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. And the Bible says that we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels for the suffering of death. That was the reason why he had to be made a little bit lower than angels, so that he could suffer death. The Bible says in Hebrews, I believe it's 8:22, somewhere around in there, that he, even though he was a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Hallelujah. And crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You need to know tonight that there was one that tasted death for you, and his name is Jesus. He tasted death so you wouldn't have to taste it. He tasted death so you wouldn't have to see it. But death became obedient. He said, even unto the death, obedient to the death of the cross, through the joy that was set before him. Who was that joy? What was that joy? That was you, neighbor. Everyone in it, the sound of my voice, you were the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the reason why he sat down at the right hand of the Father and making subjection. Amen. The Son handed everything unto the Father, and everything would come under subjection, even the death. Hallelujah. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He was made complete. The reason I brought those scriptures out is this centurion was a captain over men. But tonight I'm speaking to you about a captain of our salvation. He is our captain of our salvation. And he was made perfect through suffering. Hallelujah. The things that he went through. He made us complete by the suffering of the cross. He made it by the obedience of the cross.
Bless you, Lord.
We learn obedience, amen, amen, because we follow he who was first obedient, amen. And the Bible says there in verse 3, going back to Luke chapter 7, and when he had heard of Jesus, oh, church, tonight when you hear of Jesus, faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God, that's what Romans 10 says. We need to know tonight, amen, that the word of God brings hearing, and hearing brings faith in Jesus Christ. And when he heard it of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, amen, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 7, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction through the Sabbath. He was a man. He was ready to die. And the word of God, like I said before, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In John chapter 1, that word was Jesus Christ, and we beheld his glory. Amen. As Jesus would come into the servant's house, that captain of a hundred's house, he was getting ready to behold the glory of God. He was getting ready. He had already heard of Jesus, and he beseeched him. Amen. The Bible says beseeching him in verse 3. The Bible tells us and declares in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present you, yourself, your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. This man who was a centurion, this man who was not a Jew, had already presented his body, had already presented his faith, has already presented himself, even though he's a man of authority, had already presented himself, amen, a man not worthy, coming underneath the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had just heard of him, and he knew he was a man of authority. Many times, amen, when Jesus was preaching the temple, and being of the tribe of Judah, not being of the tribe of Levi, he would have not had the right, the spiritual right, amen, to speak in there, because he was not of the Levitical priesthood. But you need to know tonight that we serve, amen, the line of the tribe of Judah, who is after the unchangeable priesthood of Melchizedek, amen, who was king of Salem and priest, amen. He had no beginning and no ending, amen. He was a type and shadow, amen, of the first king and priest of Jerusalem. We need to find, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he had come, amen, deliver them all the church. You have to understand, some people don't see the whole picture there. This centurion saw Jesus coming and healing his servant. But even though he didn't ask, he was healing this servant too. He was healing his heart. Not only was he going to heal and come and heal that servant, but he was going to heal that centurion. Not only was he going to heal that centurion, but he was going to heal the hearts and the minds of the elders that had come, thanking, amen, because of the thing. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible
amen.
Says, let this mind. We have to have the mind of Christ tonight, church. We have to have. The Bible said, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There has to be a renewing of the mind tonight. Every one of you have to lose your mind to gain the mind of Christ. Every one of you have to lose your mind, amen, tonight, to have the mind of Christ. And the Bible says, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. See, in their minds and our thoughts, Jesus, you should come because this man was worthy. You need to know tonight, amen, at the time of the book of Daniel, that this book was sealed. Amen, and no man was found worthy to open the seals. But we find in the book of Revelations, the Bible says in Revelations 19 and 10, amen, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen, we find the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, who was found worthy to open the seals and open the mysteries. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing to these ministers tonight. These word of God is being spoken, that the mysteries of the kingdom are being opened and revealed unto you. The Bible says to you, it was given to know the mystery of the kingdom. Jesus Christ was the mystery. Amen. The Bible says, hallelujah, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says, and with controversy, great is a mystery of godliness. God was manifest, in other words, in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up the glory. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's talking
amen.
About the word that was speaking tonight. That's talking about the spoken word, the Logos. That's talking about his authority saying a word. That's talking about his obedience. And the Bible says, going back to Luke chapter 7, verse 5, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. He has built us a place of worship. He had found, amen, he had come and invested in them and built them a place of worship. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Tonight we need to know something. The Bible says, amen, that a double-minded man, James chapter 1, shall receive nothing from the Lord, for he is like a man to and fro. Amen. Hallelujah. But tonight we need to know, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. In other words, his wisdom will come unto you, the wisdom of God. You need to know tonight, the Bible says, he is the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. That's what it declares in his word. And the Bible says, for he is faithful, promise. In other words, Jesus Christ is faithful. He holds fast the profession. He is the chief apostle. And the Bible says in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. And here's this man. He built a synagogue. Amen. He would never enter into that synagogue, but he built them a place of worship. It's just like Nehemiah. Amen. Nehemiah was obedient to the word of God. Amen. During the time and when he was the king, and king, amen, provided everything for him. He was a cupbearer for the king, but he was in captivity in a foreign land. And men come to him, and he asked him how the homeland was. And they had burned the city and tore down the walls and burned the gates and everything, and it lied waste. Jerusalem, that which was found in peace, had lied waste. And church tonight, we need to know something. Do not let the things of God lie waste in your life tonight. Let the walls repent of salvation according to Isaiah 60, and let the gates that represent praise come forth, amen, because God wants to build. I'm speaking right now heavily, amen, by the spirit of prophecy, that God wants to build your waste places again. He wants to restore unto you, amen, the generation and the foundation of many generations that have been broken down. He wants to restore to you, amen. He wants to stand in the gap and be a restorer of paths for you to walk in, amen. He didn't have to restore for you. You need to know tonight that the restoration of the word of God in your life right now. Amen. I'm speaking to many of you tonight. The Bible says by his prophet Joel, he said, I will restore to you the years. I'm speaking to many people that you've laid right now. You've laid waste for many years. That the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust and that great army of the Lord has destroyed. But there's restoration right now of years. There's a ministry of reconciliation right now that the Spirit of the Lord is going to speak in all this globe right now. There's reconciliation. Amen. Where there has been right now, that love is coming in and revoking the good works. This man did a good works. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, by not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. This man made a place of assembly so that they could come together. And they could come together, amen, in the name of their God. As a manner of some, he was but exhorting one another. This man who would never enter in, just like Nehemiah come. He had become the Artaxerxes, the governor, amen. Amen. The Tirshathal, thank you, Lord. The Tirshathal, that means that's the word for governor. And he come there, and you know what? He put his hands to that wall. He restored the gate, but you know what? He would never, ever enter in. As soon as his work was finished, he would have to leave and go back to the king. He would never, ever be able to enjoy that which he put his hands to. There are some of you underneath the sound of my voice, you've been discouraged because you put your hand to the plow, but you were never able to enter in. You have to understand tonight, when we put our hand to the plow, a lot of times, amen, amen, that we'll never, ever enter into the works. Never many that by faith, as Abraham, as Brother All brought out, that even though he's obedient, even though he never seen some of the promises, but they believed that they would come. He was looking for a city and builder whose maker was God. Hallelujah. He obeyed even though he did not see, but by faith he would obtain these precious promises. And the Bible says,
Hallelujah. Exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as you see the day of the Lord coming and approaching. Amen. Here it was that for them, that was the day of the Lord approaching. He was approaching unto the centurion's house. For we sit willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth. You know what? The knowledge of truth is we have to gather ourselves together. And they said, don't forsake yourselves and assembly yourselves. There's somebody here. Underneath sound my voice, you're not going to church somewhere. Get in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Get in assembly. No man is an island to himself. No man liveth to himself. No man dieth to himself. The Bible says it's a body ministry. You must come together. Amen. The Bible declares in Matthew, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Where two are touching one thing on earth and agreeing, it shall be done. And so you need to gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, we don't have Jesus. There are many people saying, I don't have to go to church. There are many people saying, I don't have to. The Bible says that they beseech him instantly. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove it, rebuke, consult with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's teaching. And so when the Apostle Paul was speaking to his son of faith, Timothy. And we need to know tonight, amen, that people say, I don't have to go to church. Let me tell you something tonight, church. There are many people that go throughout life and say, I'm going to make it, believe they're going to be in the Father's heaven when they haven't even been in his house the first time. I don't believe, amen, that if you've never been to his house, that
amen,
you're going to get into his heaven, amen. The Bible says, forsake not yourself. You're going to have to be to his house before you ever enter the house. You have to come by the way of the Father's house, amen. Hallelujah. That prodigal son had to come back to be, even though it be, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. In Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son come back, and his training brought him back to the house of the Father. The Bible says his father saw him afar off. That tells me one thing. The Father was looking for him at the very moment. You need to know tonight, there are many I'm speaking to you right now. You've left the Father's house, and you say, well, I just went too far. Let me tell you something. I'm talking about a man who went out there and would fain the husk of the the spine. That was an unclean job, an unclean animal. Everything about his life had become unclean. But you know what? When he came to himself, the Bible says he rose up and he said, even the servants of my father's house had murdered and had bred the spirit. You need to know tonight, you need to come to yourself, and you need to come to the Father's house, and you need to come to the spoken word, and you need to come to Jesus. Draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, going back to Luke, amen, chapter 7, amen, and verse 6, then Jesus went with them. Hallelujah. And when he was now not far from the house, when he, look, you need to know that God is not a God that's afar off, but he's nigh at hand. And you need to know that no matter where you're at tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is right there. He'll never leave you.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. In other words, he already recognized when he was come and drawn nigh. All of a sudden, this centurion, this man of authority, this man of power, this man who had spoken to people, and they would go and tell them to come, and they would come. All of a sudden, he said, wait a minute. He said to the elders, he said, friends, go. Go tell him. He said, I'm not worthy. Don't let him come any closer. Don't let him come any closer, but just saying the word. Right there where you find him, just let him just speak the word, and my servant shall be made whole. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, I believe it's in verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, I believe, he says, I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end. Jesus already had thoughts to bring peace, not only to the servant who was sick, not only to the centurion who was asking for the sickness, not only to the elders who had brought to him, because, see, they had a thought there, that they thought that Jesus was coming because he had built them a synagogue. Jesus wasn't coming because he built them a synagogue. That was a good work. But Jesus was getting ready to build him a temple. Hallelujah. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about that he'd been in the synagogue. That was a good work, but you know what? God was getting ready to let him know that know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not this centurion, amen, had an opportunity, amen, to be the temple of God? And not only would he, amen, but he would come, amen, and he had this revelation that not only would the Lord come, not to his natural house, but he, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and dwell in that centurion if he would just ask. He would dwell and live with him. In fact, he would come. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. You have to understand that when God opens that door, when you open that door, when God walks in your heart's door tonight, he doesn't leave. When you allow that door, when you allow the Lord Jesus Christ into your home, and I'm not talking about your natural home, I'm talking about your spiritual home, I'm talking about the house of God, I'm talking about the temple, boy. When you let him in, he's there for the duration, if you allow him to be. He's coming, he's sitting down there. He said, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, in other words, live in me. John chapter 15, you can ask whatsoever you will tonight, and I will do it. I will become obedient to you. I will become obedient because I have to be obedient to your word. He said, for I also am a man set under authority, verse 8, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. The Bible says, endure the hardness of a good soldier of the Lord. Are you a soldier of the Lord tonight? You have on the whole armor of God. Are you obedient to the captain of your salvation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he did that. He said his servant, you know what? You know why he was wanting to hear that servant? Because he loved him. You know why? Because that servant served him in love. Amen? That servant served him in love. When he told the servant to go, the servant went. But you know what? It wasn't because he was a servant. It's because he'd become his friend. There's a man by the name of Jesus. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends.
Amen.
Greater love hath no man than this tonight, church, than a man layeth down his life for his friend.
Yes.
Here's a man who is authority. Here's a man who is all authority. Here's a man who is all glory and honor. And so when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, though his followers, here's what he said to his followers tonight, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Tonight, has he found your faith to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him tonight, by this word.
Amen.
Everything was made by him saying a word. And right now, as we say in a word, I'm speaking a word over this whole globe right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, just say in a word, and by your authority, this word will come under subjection and be obedient to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These that have once walked with you, right now, I ask them to come back to obedience.
Right.
I ask that you have the robe, the ring, and the fatted calf. And Father, for them, I ask for you that those that do not know you, that they will have a face like this centurion. That, Lord, that they will invite you into their house, and that you would speak the word, and it shall be done, and that house shall be healed. Father, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will heal their land. Lord, right now, I ask you to say the word, and heal the land, this night, this hour, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
go ahead, then, Sister Grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. The wonderful word of God. I tell you, there's life in the word. It says the letter is dead, but with the Spirit of God. And you know that's what Brother John has, that great anointing, to be able to preach the word to us, and that it be life in our life. And he preached to you about obedience to God. And that backslider, if that's you, I hope you pray and find you an altar. It don't have to be in a church house. It could be at your bedside. It could be at an old stump outside. Praise God. And just you and the Lord, get alone with him and just begin to cry out to him and pray and repent of your sins. And after you've repented, he'll hear every prayer that you have to pray. Praise God. But that's the only prayer he'll hear from you, is a repentance prayer. And he is surely dealing with you if you're listening here tonight. And that's exactly who this broadcast is for, is for you that need you to find your way back home. Jesus left the 99 and he went after that one. And you're just as precious to the Lord than the 99. Praise God. And he's calling you back home. And won't you come? Won't you come give your heart to him? If you want to call in on this broadcast, be part of, be on here with us. It is 347-989-8862. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read off some of the prayer requests. Becky Fritz says, please pray for me in prayers. I'm struggling and I won't let the devil win, so pray for her. Sister Danielle Davidson says, myself and a person very near and dear to her heart. Her name is Nina. Also have a praise report. A great friend of hers and her boyfriend got saved last night. Praise the Lord. She also, Sister Phyllis Center says, be praying for Robbie and Jessica. Those are her children. They're on their way to Kentucky. God knows all about it. They need the Lord to move in a situation. And if the Lord moves in this job situation for her son, they'll be all moving down to Kentucky. So pray the Lord's will in that, that they'll be obedient to the Lord's voice. Judy Jones says she has a prayer request for a young man, Jimmy. He's in critical condition. He needs a mighty move of God to pull through this. He was in a car accident. He needs the Lord to intervene and get some things settled from the accident from 2 years ago. They themselves had an accident in their own family, and they need the Lord to move on some things, plus move on the young man that had a recent accident that's in critical condition. Bonnie Burke says, still remember her family that needs prayer. Remember her for her strength also. And then she praises the Lord. Valerie Beeson says, please pray for her physical health and for her to endure Satan's attacks. So also Letha Harrison, I need prayer, and so does her brother. Dwight Stevens says, pray for his Nana, and she has cancer, and also his pastors, Willie and Lily Torres, there in Dalton, Georgia. Pray for them as well. And he's not sure if his Nana is saved, so if she's not saved, let's really bombard heaven that she gets saved, and then her healing too. Pray for, let's see, Karen Wilson says, pray for her and her lost loved ones, and pray for the church also that she goes to. She's been going there for a very long time. Sister Liz Irving, she has three unspoken prayer requests. Brother Larry Wilson also needs a healing in his body. That's also from Sister Liz. Latricia Proctor, she is asking the Lord to move on her biological grandma that she's never met. She's in bad health in ICU. Remember her and also pray for her family's finances. And she also is seeking a job that she's hoping to get, and she needs prayer on that. So as they keep coming in, we'll keep turning in the prayer requests, and we know God's going to move on these. A cousin of mine, Jerry Bowens, he said pray for his family also, and just remember those. And right now I'm going to have Brother Eddie come on in, brother, and obey God.
Sister Green?
Yes.
We got some prayer requests right here we'd like to turn in too. Then, sorry about interrupting our brother Eddie.
That's all right. Go right ahead, brother.
We'd like everybody to pray for my sister's family. She lost her husband this past week. And Bob and Clara Hicks, they were pastors in South Carolina. Clara's doing a little bit better since they changed her medicine. So let's continue to pray for her. And we're getting ready to take on two more foster children. So be much in prayer for Lloyd Ray and I as we take these kids and try to raise them for the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
That's all. Go ahead there, Brother Eddie.
I'd like to read a little bit and bring what we feel the Lord has to out of the book of Jonah tonight. I know that when most people preach about Jonah, they preach about the rebellion and that Jonah went through with and what he did to come back to the Lord. But I want to approach this a little bit different. We're preaching tonight on obedience to the Lord. And in Jonah, the first chapter, in the second verse, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And I want to start by saying that you can't get away from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that the heavens can't hold his presence. And, brother, I want you to know tonight that, brother, when Jonah began to hear the voice of the Lord, he began to rebel against God. And, brother, it wasn't Jonah's not the point of this whole book tonight, but Jonah, brother, was a messenger that God sent. And it's just like when God begins to speak to somebody's heart to do something, brother, whether they do that or not, it's not them. It's the person, or it's the family, or it's the church that God has sent them to, that, brother, that God wants to move in, that God wants to bless that church or that family or that person, and God wants to move for them, and God wants to bless them. And brother Jonah, he took it on himself to run from the Lord, and brother, he thought he'd go down and go to another place, but God still, that's like John said a while ago, when Jesus comes in, he comes in for the duration, and brother, God wasn't about to let Jonah get by, because there was a city down there that he was sending him to, and it had a great number of people in it, and God wanted that great number of people to come to him. And brother, we went down, he bought him a ticket.
Amen.
To go to another place, and when he bought that ticket, he went down into the ship, and I can just imagine Jonah saying, "Oh, I've got it made now. I'm going to get away from this. I'm going to get away from the presence of God." But he didn't stop to think that you can't get away from God's presence. It don't matter where you go. I was in Vietnam, and God called me to preach, and brother, God's presence was in Vietnam, and then I left, I come to the United States, and then I went to Germany, a half a world away, and brother, that was the presence of God waiting right there on me. And I'll tell you today that Jonah didn't realize that you couldn't get away from the presence of God, but God wasn't about to let him get by with that, because there was a bunch of people there. The Bible says that it's not God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God was wanting to save this city from destruction. God can't stand to look at sin, and God won't tolerate sin, but God will do everything that he can to turn people from their sin. I was back in the time of Abraham, and God went down, he told Abraham, he said, "I'm going down here to see if their cry has come up before me, to see if it's what I've been hearing or not." And he sent two angels down there to see if Sodom and Gomorrah was in better shape as they were, as the cry of their wickedness come up. And brother, before that night was over with, they found Lot and Lot's wife and their two daughters, and they took them out of the town. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God, he won't tolerate sin, but he'll do everything he can. Bless God tonight to get people's attention, to get them away from sin. And brother, that's what was happening here tonight with Jonah. He was, these people, they were crying out. Their sin was wicked. And brother, God heard that. And God wanted to spare them. Bless God. And he wanted them to not be destroyed. And brother, he was trying to get Jonah's attention to get down there so that he wouldn't destroy them. Listen, he got into that boat, and there was a storm come up. And brother, they began to cast up out of the boat. They began to get scared, and they began to row, and they began to do all they could to keep that boat afloat. And they was afraid it was going to be broken up, but they couldn't. And they began to cast lots, and brother, the lot fell on John, and they told him, in place they said, arise, O sleeper, and call upon your God, that he may hear it. And brother, I want to inspire us. Jonah knowed why it was come, because he wasn't doing what he wasn't being obedient to the Lord. And I'm, like I said a while ago, we're preaching on being obedient to God. And brother, whenever we're obedient to God, the blessings will flow. Brother Green, last week, I believe it was, talked about in the 12th chapter of the book, or the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, about the blessings of God, how that they come upon people. And brother, that obedient, they'll come upon you and overtake you because of the obedience. But brother, if we begin to get disobedient, we'll backslide and we'll get away from God. But I'm so glad tonight he said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But he said, if you do sin, he didn't say to go sin, but he said, but if you do sin, he said, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He don't only forgive us, but he cleanses us. But let me tell you, it's like John was talking about the prodigal son. We have to get down sometimes if we begin to get rebellious against God, plumb down into the hog pen. And God don't call people to preach. Bless God, because of that person, God has got people's names on that person that he wants them to reach. It's them people that he's reaching out. And man, when that person, that Brother Hill said that a while ago, that bless God, whenever that you begin to answer that call, bless God, it begins to bring the blessings of God on us. And brother, whenever that this storm wouldn't cease, Jonah told him, said, take me, throw me overboard. And when he did, there was a peace come over the sea. But God prepared that fish. You see, God was doing everything that he could to get the message down here to Nineveh, because destruction was coming to these people, and God was doing everything he could do, bless God, to get the word to them. Brother, and to be born again tonight, all we got to do is believe the word that Jesus died for us on the third and appointed morning, that God raised him from the dead. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And bless God, when that fish is swallowed, Jonah, and brother Jonah said, from out of the belly of hell cried I. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, can you imagine being in the belly of a whale, the big fish? Some people, they'll say it wasn't a whale, it was a big fish, but a whale is a big fish. And whether it's just a big fish or whether it was a whale, bless God, Jonah was in there. He said, from the depths of hell, brother, this fish went down into the bottom of the sea and round about. And Jonah was a crying out, and Jonah began to make vows unto God. You see, God had a city around there. He said that he had more than 64,000 persons that couldn't discern the right hand from the left hand, and God was wanting to reach them. I'll tell you today, God, I said it myself, I guess, and I know a lot of people will say, well, now, if you don't want to do something, God won't make you do it. But I'll tell you what, he may not make us do it, but we can get in a shape. He can let things come upon us and come our way, brother, that will turn us to him and become obedient unto God tonight. I'm not trying to preach on disobedience. I'm trying to preach on the obedience, being obedient to God, what it does, and what happens in the, during our obedience, what our obedience brings tonight. Bless God, when that old fish was going around through there, the Bible said Jonah made vows unto the Lord. Brother, and the Bible said that God spoke to that fish, and it vomited Jonah out on dry ground. And the Bible said the second time here, in the third chapter of Jonah, it said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, to preach unto that I bid thee. And in verse 3 it said, so Jonah arose and went went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Bless God, I want you to know tonight, Jonah was more than ready to be obedient, because he had just been through the disobedience of God and what it would do, and he was ready to be obedient. Brother Jonah thought about it, it didn't matter to him anymore, because he knew that God was in charge of it, and God was going to do what God wanted to do. Bless God, and if we would only realize that God is going to do in our life what he wants to do in our life, bless God, we'd be a lot better off and just go ahead. I found out a long time ago, in fact, it's been about 38 years ago, that year I was in the basement of the house where I'm at right now, and I come to this conclusion that it has got to be easier to do what God would have you to do than it is to live like I was living. Oh, I thank God tonight that I made that decision to go on and to preach the gospel tonight. Bless God, way back then in 1974, brother, I want you to know that Jonah, he got out of there and he went to Nineveh. I believe he might have been double time and down through there, and he might have been running at a faster gait than the double time, because he had just witnessed the disobedience of God, or being disobedient to God, and he didn't want none of that. Oh, and the Bible says he entered into the city a day's journey, and he began to tell them to repent. Oh, the Bible said they believed him. Bless God, and it said, he said, let me find this here where I'm at. Said, and the people of, in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth, and from the greatest of them even to the least of them. They didn't let their herds drink or eat. They didn't let their animals eat or drink. They didn't eat or drink, but they fasted and they sought the face of God because they wanted the blessing of God. You see, Jonah began to tell them that they was going, he said here in verse 4, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, and they didn't want that. Oh, listen to me tonight, folks, if you're out there and God's speaking to your heart that you need to do something, bless God, you need to just step right on out and just go on and do that. You might have a neighbor that God's wanting you to speak to. They might be somebody that God's going to bring you in contact with, that he wants you to speak to them about the Lord, and about his goodness, about his mercy, about his grace. Bless God, and I want to encourage you just to go right on and be obedient to the Lord, and let God's grace be upon you greater than it has been until that time. And I'm saying it like that because, brother, it may be greater down in the future than it is even at that time. But you know, these people, they believe the preaching of Jonah. And brother, whenever they believed it, and they begin to turn to the Lord, from the king right on down to the lowliest of the person to the animal. Bless God, when they believed that, then God spared them. God spared them. Because he said in verse 10 here, he said, well, let me back up here just a minute. He said, but let men be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Listen to this verse 10. And God saw their works. There's a lot of people said, well, it's by grace, it's by faith, it's not by works, and it's not by works. But if you've got the grace of God in your life, if you've got the faith of God in your life, you'll have some works in your life that will back up. I believe James said, show me a man that says he has faith. He said, and I'll show you my works by, I'll show you my faith by my works. Saying God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You see, God could have sent an angel down there, but he didn't want to do that. He chose to send Jonah down there and preach to this city, and he let Jonah rebel against him for a while. Oh, but the whole time that he was rebelling, God was still moving. Bless God, God has got people's names wrote on us, and has for us to reach them. And God is wanting us to reach them today, because honey, there's a hell to shun tonight. If we could only, if God could only roll back the door and let people look over into hell and see the people that's there, the innumerable number of hosts that are in hell tonight, that are in agony, that are screaming. Oh, listen, I believe it brings tears to the eyes of Jesus whenever he thinks about the people that's lost, and they cannot be no help them because they died without Christ, and they went to hell tonight. But he's got people just like the people on this broadcast that are trying to reach out and preach the gospel to people. Bless God to get them to turn back to God. Oh, these churches tonight with preachers in them that's trying to get people won to the Lord. These evangelists tonight that's trying to win people to the Lord. These people that's out going out on the street corner trying to win people to the Lord. Oh, when you've done all you can do, that's all you can do. Oh, but listen to me on the obedience of God tonight. When God begins to speak to your heart to do something for him, bless God, whatever it is, take your cross up, brother, and follow Jesus, and let him begin to bless you. Listen, I tell you, I've heard people say, well, I come to church to get a blessing. Brother, I go to church to be a blessing to somebody because I want to see God bless them. Oh, listen to me here. God spared this whole city because Jonah went down there and preached to them, and they believed the message that Jonah had. Oh, when God begins to speak, honey, it'll begin to touch people's heart. And I pray on this, before this broadcast, that God will open people's eyes. He'll open their ears, and he'll open their eyes and their ears and the understanding of their heart, that God will touch them, because I don't want to see nobody die lost. I don't want to see nobody die without the Lord. I want to see people come to Christ. Bless God tonight. I want to see God move in a great way, and I pray tonight that God would just use this broadcast. And you that's listening tonight by the way of the internet or by radio tonight, I want to encourage you that if you're lost tonight, to turn, and God's speaking to your heart, just to turn to him and ask him to save you, to come into your heart and live in your heart and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. God bless you tonight. Sister Green, go ahead.
Praise God, Brother Eddie. Very good word there again, and we just love the Lord, and everything that Brother Eddie has told you is true, and just grab a hold of this and be obedient to the Lord. Don't do like Jonah did, do like he did at the latter part of that, and obey God and do what he's called you to do. And at this time, we're gonna have a quick song, and then we're gonna have Brother Yearwood come in and obey the Lord. Hallelujah.
As I kneel in the dark, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance that the Lord's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another valley, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'm put on in defeat. But he said, I won't. I call the rains and sea. I call to the wind. It hushed and I gave it to you. Didn't I run to you?
and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, just thinking there just for a minute about verse 1 there, it said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. You know, husband, and you know, that is Jesus is telling us there, praise God, that the Father, in other words, over him, and he could do nothing except what he's seen the Father do. And you know that, and he said we could do nothing without him. And you know, praise God, I'm glad tonight that we can take his word and we can multiply that word into our heart, into our spirit. Then we are obedient unto him. You know, praise God, we are supposed to bring forth fruit tonight to this lost and dying world. I was thinking there a while ago whenever Brother Eddie was a minister there about Jonah being disobedient, the way he was disobedient and got himself into trouble. You know, praise God, a lot of times we will be disobedient. We'll do something that God is telling us not to do, and we get ourselves into trouble. But I'm so glad that he still, as I was thinking there, John 3:16, that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, tonight, my friend, God is telling us that we shall bring forth fruit. We shall bring forth the fruits of God and the love and the peace and the joy and all of that. Praise God will come forth out of a true born-again believer. Somebody that is being obedient to God. Somebody that will sacrifice their sins and sacrifice their body. Paul said that he had died out daily to the sins of this world. And praise God, it's time that we realize, as we was reading there, Sister Betty was reading there a while ago, in the verse there where it said, praise God, that if we did not bring forth fruit, we was hewed down, in other words, and we will, praise God. Let me see if I can just find that one verse again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. In other words, if we don't bring forth fruit, we're just, and got the branches right and trimmed, we'd be hewed down. I'll praise God, and we'd be thrown right there. It said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch not have brought forth. Let's see.
Praise him, Lord.
Wait a minute. Let me start over. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he's taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, praise God, he's wanting us to bring forth more fruit. But if we're not, praise God, then we are going to be, look right into verse 6 there, it says, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. You know,
amen.
Praise God, that's what God is telling us here tonight, that we're supposed to bring forth fruit. You know, if we don't bring forth fruit, then we're liable to end up like over there in the book of Revelation. It said he'd rather that we would be hot or cold than lukewarm. If we're lukewarm, he said he would spew us out of his mouth.
Amen.
And I tell you what, it's time that we really think about what we're supposed to be doing. I'm sure Jonah, whenever he was down there in the belly of that old fish, praise God, over there in the book of Jonah, talks about him being in a whale, I believe, and over in Matthew, it talks about him being a great fish. But anyway, whichever way it is there, I tell you what, I'm sure that whenever he was down there in the sea, weeds wrapped around about his head, he was studying, he was thinking, there's got to be a better way than this.
Yeah,
I've got to turn myself around. Praise God, and I think, praise God, that he went, hallelujah, let me see here. In the book of Jonah, over there in the first chapter, in verse 17, it says, now the Lord have prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, he had, praise God, hallelujah, Jonah had some time there in that old fish's belly that he could study a little bit about where God told him, said, go down there to Nineveh and to preach to that great city. And then, praise God, Jonah said, I'm going to pay the price. He paid the price, all right, when he went down there and paid the fire to get on that old ship. And then he said, I'm going down to Nineveh. Praise God, he was going another way. But God got his attention. Whenever they had to throw him overboard, praise God, he had a chance then to pray and to seek God.
Yeah,
and I tell you what, and God, as Brother Eddie said there a while ago, God spoke to the fish and told him to vomit him out on dry ground. He made that 3-day journey, hallelujah, in one day. And praise God, that's what we need to be doing today. We need to be preaching the gospel. We need to be bringing forth fruit. And that fruit is God's word and God's love and God's peace, God's joy. We need to be bringing forth a deliverance of the message that God has placed in our hearts. I tell you what, if we don't, then as we was reading there in the verse 6 there a while ago, that would be hewed down and be casted into the fire. My friend, whenever you take an old limb and you throw it in the fire, it will burn up. But I tell you what, we're not going to burn up if we go to hell. We'll burn throughout eternity.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it's time that we start stirring up the gifts and start stirring up the fire that's in our lives.
Amen.
It'd be like Jeremiah said, this fire shut up in my bones. We need to get this fire straight up. We need to get going across this land, telling people that God so loved this world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, we need to tell them that God so loved us, hallelujah. Even while we were still sinners, God loved us enough that he called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
I'm thankful tonight, praise God, that God seen fit to call my name on January the 19th of 1975, 2 o'clock on a Sunday morning, after I left a beer party. Praise God. God called my name, hallelujah, and I answered, hallelujah. I tell you what, it's time that people today are hearing and bringing forth the fruits of God. It's time today that we reach out into this dark world, into this adulterous generation, and tell them how they must repent, how they must bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. I want to bring forth fruit that this world can see that Jesus Christ loved them enough that he gave his only begotten, he gave his only life on that cross that we could have life. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's time that we realize that God is wanting us to bring forth fruit. Let's look into, let's see here, I believe the 15th verse. Henceforth I called you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You know, praise God, I'm glad tonight that Jesus is telling us there everything of his Father he made known. Hallelujah. Unto us. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that he's telling us here, praise God, in verse 17 it says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, praise God, that's what it's all about tonight, is that we love one another, praise God. And I'm so thankful, praise God, tonight. Hallelujah. Let's see here. Let me back up here and read 16. Yeah, I skipped it. Ye have not chose me, but I have chose you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever or whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, praise God, tonight, whatever that we ask the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, he may just give it to us. I believe tonight, if any two of us are touching and agreeing on any one thing, according to Matthew 18 over there, and I believe about the 18th or the 19th verse, it said, if any two were touching and agreeing on any one thing, ask of your Father which is in heaven, and that he'd give it to you. I tell you what, if we ask the Father for some fruit, something other, the blessings of God, he's going to give it to us. I tell you, it's time that we start binding together, and we can bring forth fruit, and we can see the world changed. Hallelujah. It's in verse 18. It says, Matthew 18 and 19 together, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree and on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of them, for them of my Father which is in heaven. For with two, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hallelujah. So, you know, if there's two or three of us are together, a touching and agreeing on any one thing, God will do it for us. And I just thank you for that. Praise God. And I just thank God for an opportunity this tonight to be able to come to you in your homes, wherever that you're at, and just praise God for you. And you know, just pray for us, you know, that we'll keep lifting up the name of Jesus. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto him. And that's all that I want to do, is just lift up the name of Jesus. I want to see souls saved. I want to see people sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and just see them delivered. And so I want to say this. This keeps burning on my mind. You know, tonight, Betty was checking the news out, and a little 6-month-old girl up here in Knoxville, Tennessee, I understand that her mama and her daddy got into an argument, fighting over a gun, and shot that little 6-month-old girl right through the head and killed her. She died before they got her to Knoxville Hospital. So just remember that family, and you know, and that stuff is going on all around the world. That's the reason why that we try to do what we can do to help the little kids. So God bless you. We love you. And just pray for us. We're on here on Tuesday nights from 6 until 8. So just tune in and be with us. And appreciate you, Brother and Sister Green. Back to you.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood. We're going to let Clinton go ahead and obey the Lord. And that's good word. All the preachers have preached tonight, and we thank you all so very much. And the obedience to God is our subject. And for those of you that are maybe just tuned in, and maybe you want to be a part of this broadcast, and you can still call in for the next 27 minutes. It's 347-989-8862. And I encourage you, if you have internet access, to go to Blog Talk Radio / The Macedonian Call around the globe and listen to the full entirety of the message that all the ministered had ministered tonight, and it will sure bless you. And here's my husband, Evangelist Clint Green.
Okay, it's good to be with you tonight. I thank God that I'm saved tonight, and I'm washed in the blood, and I'm on my way to heaven. I enjoyed all the ministers that have preached up to this point, and praying the Lord will help me right here tonight to have a message that will help somebody. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm going to start in the 16th verse of chapter 1. It says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah.
Amen.
And this is the Old Testament people, praise God. In verse 4 it says, all sinful nation, O people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. So we see that they were in a disobedient state of, you know, they were not obeying God, and they had come to the place where that Isaiah, the Lord had spoken to Isaiah, and had told him to go to this nation that had rebelled against him, and tell them over here in the 16th verse, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Praise God. So you see the heart of God here. You see that God is not willing that any should perish. I think one of the
preachers
tonight had said that on the radio broadcast, that God's reaching out to souls, and Christ had died at the cross, and he had died there for the sins of the whole world, that whosoever will could come, praise God, and take of the water of life freely, the Bible says. And Jesus is that water of life. The Bible tells us that in the wilderness, when the Hebrew children were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, he was that rock that followed them. And he was the rock that Moses smote there, and the water come gushing out. And it fed, you know, it watered them and their animals. And I don't know how many thousand of them there were, but they also had animals. And there was no shortage in Christ. And he was that rock, praise God. And he said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then he says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Praise God. So he was setting before him again a blessing and cursing, just like in Deuteronomy 28 and other places that the Lord had told him that he would bless them if they would do certain things, and if they'd be obedient, they would have the blessing. Praise God. And he even told them, you know, that they would... He would have gave them honey out of the rock and different things, that there'd be no shortage, that they would lack nothing. But if you refuse and rebel, you should be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So they were at a place of, you know, a crossroads, you might say. They was at a crossroads there. The Lord was telling them, hey, you can... you know, shape up, get yourself, your house in order, or you are going to be cut off. You're going to be destroyed, and you're going to perish. And, you know, they finally were taken away captive, this the northern kingdom. And Isaiah tried to warn them. He tried to tell them, you know, that judgment day was coming. And we preach tonight on the radio, we preach the judgment day is coming, that God is going to judge this world again, praise God. And, you know, he judged it in Noah's day. You know, the wickedness of man was great, and they had done everything that they could imagine. You know, evil was running rampant, and they were turning their back on God, praise God. But, you know, one day, God spoke to Noah and said, Noah, build an ark. And he told him how to build it. And he gave him the dimensions and everything. He gave him basically a blueprint on how to build that ark. And, you know, he worked on that ark. He kept working. He was obedient to God. And the Bible said that he it saved him and his house, praise God. There was, I think the Bible said, 8 souls saved, him and his wife and his 3 sons, praise God, and their wives. And if he hadn't have been obedient to God, he would have died in the flood. But God
Amen.
Told him, said, yet 100, my spirit, he said, shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. So I believe Noah worked on that ark for 120 years. I actually believe he got the call of God about that ark before his sons was ever born, praise God. But he built that ark, and them sons saw him working on that ark, and they took notice, and they helped him. Praise God. And I tell you, people's watching your life out there tonight, are you building on the ark of God? Are you making preparation for the soon coming of Christ? Are you getting your house in order? And can your children look at you and know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you're a believer? Do they see you, you know, steal away and pray? And do they see you read your Bible, you know, and they're watching our life, you know, our children are. And the whole world, Bible says there in Hebrews, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, praise God. And so we're doing something for the Lord. We're trying to do what we can and try to get souls saved. And that's what it's all about tonight, is getting a soul saved. They sang a song one time. Ain't that what it's all about? I just come to see a soul saved. Ain't that what it's all about? Praise God. And I tell you, there is a way of salvation. The Bible tells us there is a way of salvation. Praise God. And we know tonight that Jesus is the way. Praise God. And we find in the Bible many times where people prayed unto the Lord, and they called on the name of Jesus, you know, and I believe it's in Acts 4:12, where the Bible said, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we might be saved, but through the name of Jesus. And
Amen.
I believe it was Peter, maybe, that told them religious people that, you know, they had been up to the temple to pray. There, you know, in Acts chapter 3, they came up to that beautiful temple, and there sat that lame man. And Peter and John had gone up there to pray, but Peter said, look on us. He said, the man wanted alms. The Bible said the man wanted alms. But the Bible said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, you see. He took that name. He used that wonderful name of Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. I tell you, it makes a difference when you get down on your knees and you
Amen.
Use the name of Jesus. It's a name which is above every name. We're talking about obedience
Amen.
To God tonight. And I tell you, we're obedient to God when we take the name of Jesus and we call upon him. How great is his name, praise God, I tell you tonight. Glory to God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, the Bible says.
Yes, Lord.
The city
Amen.
Of our God in the mountain of his holiness. You know, we're in the mountain of God tonight. We're in the great city of God. If you've been born again, you're in the city of God. You're a member of that heavenly city, praise God. Part of that city's already in heaven. Part of it's here on earth, praise God, but we're a habitation of God. We're a building that God is putting together. We're lively stones in the building, and we're knitly fit together, the Bible says, praise God. And it don't make any difference tonight whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. You know, if I was a Jew tonight, I wouldn't have no more, clout or whatever. Than the Gentile man. They're all one in Christ Jesus. As many
Amen.
As been baptized into Christ, the Bible said, have put on Christ. And there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, a male nor female, they're all one in Christ Jesus, praise God. And I'm not any better than anybody, and you're no better than me, and we're all one in Christ Jesus tonight. And we may have different places in the family of God and different callings in our life, but we're all one, praise God, and we're in the family of God. And I'm saying tonight, you can get in the family. The door of mercy is still open. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved in the last days. And we're definitely living in the last days. Praise
Amen.
God. Like God made a promise in Isaiah there where I read just a few minutes ago how that he said to come and let us reason together. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. See, he's got the power to cleanse us from sin, the Bible tells us. And when we kneel at that cross, at the foot of that cross, we can kneel. You know, I know that, you know, that's been 2,000 years ago when Jesus, close to 2,000 years when Jesus died on that cross. But praise God, in the mind of God, he's still looking at that cross, praise God. He still sees a sinner, man, woman, or boy or girl, whoever it is, grandma, grandpa, whoever, that kneels at that cross and takes the name of Jesus and comes to God. See, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
There's not a whole bunch of different mediators. There's not a bunch of different names that you can go to God and get a hold of God with. There's only one. Jesus said there in John chapter 15, I believe it is, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Praise God. See, he's that true vine tonight, and we're the branches on that vine. Praise God. And if we don't, if we stay right with God once we've been saved, if we stay right with God, then we'll stay alive and we'll be on that vine, and we'll be bringing forth fruit, praise God, and we'll be trying to win souls to Christ. I thought about some religious people tonight, you know. I thought about the Apostle Paul was a religious man, and he went about persecuting the church, and he hated the name of Jesus. But, you know, there was one day when he found out Jesus was the way and the truth and the life, and he found out that that man that they had crucified on that cross was still alive. And he found out that he was risen from the dead one day when he was going down to Damascus with letters from the chief priest to bind those that called upon the name of Jesus. You see, the early church was calling on the name of Jesus. And we're talking about obedience to God tonight. And see, the devil wants to try to scare us out of not being obedient to God. He wants to try to bring persecution against the church and try to stop the church. But the Bible tells me there in Acts chapter 8 that they went everywhere preaching the word when there was great persecution against the church. And it says there in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, it says, except the apostles. And I believe it was put in there so that we would know that these people that were saved and born again and washed in the blood was taking up the cross and following Christ. And they was going out and confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus, that he is the Christ, that he is the way, and that there was no other way but him. And it stands there tonight. It's the same thing tonight. I thought how they got in trouble when they went down there and the lame man got healed. You know, they went down there to that beautiful gate of the temple, and there sat the lame man. And he came up when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he leaped to his feet, praise God. And he went into that temple leaping and praising God. And there was many souls was added to the church that day, praise God. It don't take you a month of Sundays to pray through to salvation. I tell you, Jesus and God the Father's ear is not dull. The Bible said there, I believe it was Isaiah 59 or 58, somewhere there, said his arm was not short, that it could not save, and his ear was not heavy, that it could not hear. But he said, your sins have separated between you and your God. But you see the sin problems taken away tonight because Jesus died at the cross. You can come to the cross. You can kneel at the foot of the cross of Calvary. You might do that in your bedroom. You might go to your sofa, you know, tonight, or kneel there at the kitchen table or whatever. And you can be kneeling at the cross of Calvary. Oh, praise God. You know, God is not afar off, the Bible said, but he is near unto every one of us, praise God. And if we feel after him, Paul said there on Mars Hill, he said he preached to him there, and he found that inscription unto the unknown God. And he said, I see that you got an unknown God, and I'm putting it in my own words tonight. But he said, I see you worship an unknown God. And he said, I know him. I know that unknown God that you don't know. See, they weren't saved. They didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know too much about salvation and probably hadn't heard the preaching of the word, praise God. But he said, I know him, the one that made heaven and earth, the one that made all things and the sea and everything in it, praise God. And excuse me, that's the one that Jonah preached to them men on that ship that day, them mariners there that was on that ship, went down there and found him asleep. Praise God, woke him up and said, call on your God. And they wanted to know who was he, where was he from, what was his occupation, what God did he believe in. He said, I'm a Hebrew, praise God, he said. And they had the covenant, see, in the Old Testament, and God was with them, praise the Lord. And now he is with us through the name of Jesus in the time since the new covenant, the New Testament has come into force, where that he died on the cross. He said, another covenant will I make with the house of Israel. Not like the one that I made when I took you by the hand and led you out of Egypt. Praise God. And they didn't obey that covenant. But I thank God today we are the sons of God by the Spirit of God in us. We're sons and daughters of God, and we can obey because we have the Spirit of God in us. And you can get that Spirit, praise God. You can have the Spirit of God. Like I say, you can make you an altar somewhere beside your bed, and maybe at your couch or somewhere. Maybe you're driving down the road and on the highway somewhere, and you can pray right there in your car. You can make an altar to God, and you can call on the name of Jesus. And I know that there's power in that wonderful name. There's none other name, like I said, you know, earlier. There's many names that people call on, but there's one that gets the attention of God. There's only that one name that gets the attention of God. I'm going to turn it back to Sister Joanna here and let her say a few things.
Praise the Lord. It's all been good. And thanking God he's made a way for us to get saved. And you know, God has known us from our mother's womb. But that's not the importance of salvation. God knows us when we're in our sins. What's important is that we know him. And when we get the revelation of Jesus Christ and what he did when he came down and shed his blood on the cross, and we see that's the remission, the pardon for our sins. He said that we have not because we ask not. We're to repent, and we're to call upon him and ask him. I forget who it was that said that he has made a stony heart. He's taken out my heart of stone and made it as flesh, praise God. And you know, and then we have a heart to please God. And when we're hard in our sinful state, we don't recognize that the Lord is even can see us. But when we love him, he said for us that he said keep my commandments if you love me. He said, the works that I do, even shall ye do, even greater works shall ye do. And he said, I must go away expediently, that he prayed the Father that he would send another comforter. And all this is real. And, you know, people are going, they're going to and fro, doing their everyday life, and they think they're all right. Brother John and Brother Eddie, Brother Yearwood, they think they're all right. They think if they're just a good person, they think that God knows them and they'll be all right, and that there's not a God that created them that would even allow them to go to hell. And the Bible says that hell is enlarging its borders daily, and that it wasn't created for man to go there. It was made for Satan and his fallen angels to go there, and the man of perdition and the false prophet, that's who's meant to go to hell. But sad to say that people that are trying to go up in a self way without going through Jesus and repentance of their sin, they're going to have a rude awakening and they're going to have gate trouble. And that's what we're here for, is to tell them what's in the Word of God. A lot of times we get carried away in raising children and carried away with our jobs, and we don't even look into the Word of God to see what it really says. But it really says this, if they search it out and look into the Bible and see why the revelation of Jesus. Jesus asked the disciples, who does man say that I am? And the disciples answered and said, some say you're just a prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says that you are the Son of God, the living, you are the Christ of the living God, praise the Lord. And Jesus said that only the Father can reveal this to you. And that's what I'm telling you tonight, that you may think you know Jesus, and you may think he knows you, and he does know you. He knows you every hour, every second of the day. He sees you and what you're doing. And he, whether you're good or whether you're bad, whether you're saved or whether you ain't, he sees you. But the important thing is, do you have the revelation of Jesus Christ tonight? How do you find that? You start seeking for him. He said, knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask God to show you the revelation. This is what I'm telling you to pray. He had to show me, Brother John, he had to show me that he was real in my life. And when I was in a desperate need and going through an awful trial in my life, is when I began to call upon him. And, you know, he showed me how real he really was. And when it was something so important to me, praise God, I knew that he could hear me. I knew he wasn't way up in the atmosphere where he couldn't hear me. He was right here. Praise the Lord to answer me. Praise the God, because the repentance prayer that I prayed, and then I said, God, no matter how this ends up, this trial, I'm going to serve you for all the days of my life. Oh, and I begin to look into the Word, and I begin to study, and I begin to see God just reveal himself to me. And that's what's the matter. That's what's wrong, is that people go around thinking that they're all right. And they're really falling into the pits of hell. And we're trying to pull you out. We're trying to love you and tell you what God has done for you. That's what this whole purpose of this here broadcast is. We don't make no money from it, off of it, Brother Eddie, Brother Yearwood, Brother John, Brother Clint. We don't make a dime from this. We don't want a dime from this. But we're so concerned about your soul.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus, he came to do, is to save you and our condition. We're born into this, the fall of the tree of Adam, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge, and God told them not to do that. It was the disobedience that had put the curse upon the land. And it was the tree of the cross. Looking to the cross that reconciled us back to Jesus. So when we can't just go and be under Adam and born into this and under the curse, we have to come through the sacrifice that Jesus laid himself down on a cross, gave up his life, and he came back again the third day, praise God. Then we got to accept that. The blood shed of the cross, the Lamb of God, the pact. He was a He was the Paschal Lamb, praise God, the only Lamb, the only one. Though he had no sin, he carried all the sin of the world on his shoulders, though he was sinless. He had no sin, praise God. And when we realize that the wages of sin is death, that we needed a pardon for our sin, that we would not have to pay the price and go to a hell for eternity and accept Jesus, what he did on the cross. Praise God. We need to pray for these prayer requests right now. Help us, Brother Eddie and Brother Yearwood and Brother Pastor John, as we go in prayer for the needs of all the prayer requests.
Heavenly Father,
Lord God,
Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, and we bring
you
prayer request to
you,
that
Lord
God, that's been said tonight on this broadcast, Lord,
God,
I pray for this,
Lord,
for
who you are,
Lord,
God,
that we pray for each one, Lord, that one in need, God, Lord, that you'd move, Lord, God, I pray that one that's sick, Lord, needs it's lost. God, especially Jesus, Father, God, that you'd touch him, and God, that you'd save him, Heavenly Father, and God, needs us back to you, and to just move, Lord, and bow them back to you, Father, and pray, Heavenly Father, tonight in Jesus' name, God, that the Lord just minister to him, Father, by your Spirit.
Yes, God, that's going to answer their request.
God, your will be done in their life, God, and bring them to the cross, Lord, that they might humble themselves down and call on your name and believe that Jesus died and rose again for them, Lord. God, we ask in the name of Jesus, Father.
Praise God. Until next Friday, again at 10 p.m. Eastern time, we will see you then. And Brother Yearwood is on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and he is at Blog Talk Radio, around the world, reaching the world for Christ, Bible Talk. Praise God. See y'all next Friday. Hallelujah.
God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bless.
Hello. 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 Anybody there?
Hello.
What's it doing? Not picking it up.
Hello.